All right. Well, good to see each and every one of you today. I encourage you, if you're so inclined, to maybe turn your cell phone to do not disturb or vibrate or something. And let's see here. We do have dinner on the grounds. It's going to be Hamburger Fellowship. And I heard the burgers are high quality, really, really good, man. So it's going to be great. I think they're being cooked as we go through the service today. So you may smell something that smells like the fatted calf on the altar. So that's the burgers being cooked outdoors. So we'll try to get to that. And with the fellowship after AM service, we will not have PM service tonight. So for those of you that are part of our Leviticus study, we'll see you back on Wednesday night as we pick that back up. So no PM service tonight. Do we have Monday night Bible study tomorrow? Okay, Monday night Bible study is tomorrow, 7 p.m. next door in the Sunday School building. Men's and ladies Bible study is what it is. And you're encouraged to come to that if you're so inclined. They have a good study and have a good time of fellowship. So that is tomorrow night. Do we have any birthdays in the house? Any birthdays? All right, I don't see a hand going up. All right, no birthdays. All right, very good. Very good. If you're a visitor, would you raise your hand visiting with us? All right, let's give our visitors a round of applause. Always good to have visitors. Amen. All right, all right. Very good. Any other announcements that I may not have covered? I got men's and ladies Bible study. I got no PM service tonight. What do you got, Brother Ron? Brother John? Huh? Got it. Yes, sir. I already announced it. Very good. Yeah, Singspiration, fifth Sunday. How many weeks are we out?
Oh, I think seven.
7 weeks out. Amen. You got plenty of time to practice up. That's on a Sunday night, Singspiration. All right. Anything else? Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. Well, y'all ready to get after it? Let's all stand to our feet.
Amen. Well, we'll start off by singing, "Change My Heart, O God."
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us pray. Now we are standing in his presence on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come here this morning to worship your holy name, lift you up on high. And Lord, we just thank you for all the visitors we have today. We welcome them, Lord. And all the ones that are not here today that are out traveling about, we just bring them home safely, back home. And Lord, we just want to lift the word up to you. Our pastor brings this morning, God, just let the Holy Spirit flow through the church, Lord, and touch each and every one of us, Lord. We take these words outside the door. And Lord, and may the words be spoken that you want spoken this morning. Lord, we thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. And we just give just a small portion back, Lord Jesus. So we just ask you to bless this offering in Jesus Christ's holy, holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Soul of heaven, heart of God, wash over me. Soul of heaven, heart of God, wash over me. Cleanse me, teach me, hold me, reach me. Soul of heaven, heart of God, wash over me. Holy presence, love divine, cast out my fear. Holy presence, love divine, cast out my fear. Shield me, free me, call me, lead me. Holy presence, love divine, cast out my fear.
Amen.
Church, here we go. Off to the races. Very good, very good. Yay, all right. Very good. Okay. Look at that group. Is there not a boy in a bunch? Not a boy in a bunch, man. Well, if I was a boy, I'd be afraid of that. One? Yeah, outnumbered, son. I'd watch them. Okay, three boys. All right. Three boys, four boys, three, four, I don't know. Be careful. You outnumbered. Girls have the win today. Amen, amen. Hello. Thank you, ma'am. Very good. All right. We do have some birthdays. We got Miss Joanne Rudell is going to have a birthday on the 29th. All right, let's see, day's 27, that's 2 days out. Linda Hudson going to have birthday on September 1st. And drum roll, please. Drum roll, give me a drum roll. Rosemary Purdy, 9-2. How old are you going to be, Rosemary? 67. Amen. That's a 67 was the year I was born, girl.
Hey.
Oh, my goodness, well. Hopefully we'll feel better. All right, amen. Very good. Well, we're going to start our message on forgiveness today. This is part two. And Brother Vince is going to share a testimony of how he forgave. So, amen. So you hear this testimony, and then we'll get going. Thank you, Brother Vince.
Thank you. It's hard to bear your soul publicly. I mean, when you was a kid, how many times did you go tell someone when you got a spanking? So, yeah, y'all bear with me. I told the pastor after last Sunday's message that a year and a half or so ago, he had preached a message on forgiveness. And I had to have a come-to-Jesus meeting, literally and figuratively. You know, back when my stepson passed away, I know emotions are high and everything, but I had a family member say things to me that was pretty hurtful. I went out to dinner with his cousin and some of his sorority brothers, got invited. And afterwards, this family member asked me, said, well, what'd y'all talk about? I said, nothing. We just talked about Mike, whatever. And she told me, she said, you're not allowed to keep secrets about Mike. He's not your family. He's not your blood. And that hurt deeply because I helped raise him. And, you know, whenever God pricked my heart about that, I was watching the door that day. I was in the back. You know, I tried to be like a kid and start explaining to God why I felt the way I did. you know, God, you know what this person said, and you know how bad that hurt me. And he said, that's not what the message was about. He said the message was about forgiveness. And so I asked for forgiveness, and Brother Lee asked me what kind of made me start thinking. He asked me last Sunday when I told him the story, he said, how long was that? And it was probably 10 years at least. So all our family get-togethers, Christmases, birthdays, whatever, I did my best to avoid this person. And when he asked me how long it was, I got to thinking, that's 10 years wasted. You know, we could have had much better fellowship, I guess you could say, if I would have forgave a lot sooner. So as you hear, remember, you know, even last Sunday night, the scripture wasn't, the message wasn't even about forgiveness, but one of the scriptures said, you're not to hold a grudge. You know, so technically I was sinning for 10 years. I mean, I know I'm not perfect. I did other things, but you think about that. That was a direct violation of scripture for 10 years. And so I, last Sunday and today's message, I just ask that you really look at your heart. And if you hold grudges, and sometimes you're not even the one that's wrong. Someone else may have accused you of something, you know, and but you're just mad about it because they accused you of something. You're still holding a grudge. So I just ask that you really search your heart as we hear Brother Lee's message on forgiveness. And if there's something in your heart, just, you know, get it right. It's not worth wasting 10 years of family gatherings over.
Amen, amen. Well, it's, you know, it's one thing to hear from the salesman, but it's another thing to hear from a satisfied customer. Amen? That the Word of God is alive and working in somebody's life. That's a good thing, isn't it? Yes, yes. You have a copy of God's Word. Those of you with us online, so good to have you as well. If you have a copy of God's Word, please take it and turn to Colossians chapter 3. I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and we'll read just a couple of verses as we try to reintroduce what we talked about last Sunday, this deal, talking about this message dealing with forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3, I'll begin reading here in verse 12. Colossians 3:12, online folks, we're in Colossians 3. Put that cat down, let that coffee go, pick that Bible up. Colossians 3, verse 12, amen. That dog can eat when we're done. Colossians 3:12, and we'll read here verse 12 and 13. The Word of God reads this: so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Look at verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Yes? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. We praise you and thank you that we can get back in this topic. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would truly work in somebody's life today, perhaps several people's lives today, and they would put it down. They would lay it down, Lord, that burr underneath their saddle. They would lay it down, that spirit of unforgiveness. They would lay it down, that cynical heart, because they're carrying all this junk that somebody else has done to them. Father God, we pray that this would be a breakthrough moment, a change in somebody's life. And Lord, there may be somebody that's here today that's lost and doesn't know you. And as we talk about forgiving each other, we cannot do that without, Lord, talking about how you forgave us. So Lord, in the midst of all this, somebody might even receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We give you the praise and the glory for what you want to do here today. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you so much for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. And may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, you'll remember last week we shared three things about this forgiveness, right? We said, when you forgive, you've made a decision. It's a decision, a mental assent, a decision to do so, right? And Vince talked about feeling, right? About feeling about it and not really feeling like forgiving and all that stuff. Remember, feelings are important. God gave you the emotions and all that jazz, but it comes down to really what God's Word says. And God's Word doesn't say if you feel like forgiving, God's Word says forgive, right? So you got to make that choice to do it. Secondly, we said last week, when you forgive, you have intentionally released the offender. What is that talking about? What did we get into that? We talked about not focusing on what has happened to us, right? Sometimes we say, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Well, if you won't forget it, if you won't push it back, if you won't let it go, then you're really not forgiving, right? That's just kind of a ploy. That's kind of a smoke screen that we say, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Nah, you're really not forgiving. You've not dealt with it. You need to keep working on it, all right? And then we said, when you forgive, you refuse to act, or you refuse the act of revenge, right? You refuse the act of revenge. And so as we ended last Sunday morning, we asked this question. We said, so what does forgiveness actually cost us? What does it cost us when we forgive? We talked about $1,000, right? If somebody had borrowed $1,000 from us, said they were going to pay us back in a week or a month or whatever, and come 2 months down the road, they hadn't paid us back, guess what? If we're going to forgive that person, that's cost us, hadn't it, right? And if somebody else has done something to us that wasn't monetary, but they've done something else, then that's going to cost us as well, right? When we think about forgiveness, it's going to perhaps cost us money. When we think about forgiveness, it's going to cost us mental energy to forgive, perhaps our pride, our humility to forgive, perhaps spending words of encouragement about the offender versus words of guile and words of revenge and words of hatred. Right? Yes? But on the backside of forgiveness, we said, on the backside of forgiveness, when we have chosen to forgive, when we have released the offender, when we've spent what we're going to spend in the act of forgiveness, what did we say? We said, you just cannot put a price on the mental peace that you have. You can't put a price on that. You can't put a price on the freedom of thought to not be so entrapped by all these feelings of unforgiveness. So that's kind of how we ended it. That's kind of what we talked about last Sunday. It's a two-parter, so let's pick it back up again here this morning. If you're taking notes to add to those first three, here is point number one or point number four in the two-part message. When you forgive, you give testimony. You give a testimony of a Spirit-filled life. See, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit where? In you, man. The Spirit of God is in you, right? And we should be making choices and decisions and repenting and confessing and doing all that stuff so that we don't grieve the person of the Holy Spirit in us, so that we don't quench the Holy Spirit in us, so that the Holy Spirit is free to work in us, right? And so when you forgive, you give testimony of a Spirit-filled life. The point is this. You cannot truly forgive without God's help. You got to have His help to do it. Forgiving someone who hurt you is one of the hardest things you will ever do. One of the hardest things you'll ever have to do. There's a story about a man who was trying to cross a street. As he stepped off the curb, a car came screaming towards him around the corner and right at him. Well, the man sped up to hurry across the street, and the car swerved coming towards him. So the man froze, and he went back towards the curb, and it's like the car was coming after him again. Finally, he got back to the middle of the street, and he just froze in fear. And this car came screeching to a halt, and the window rolled down, and there was a squirrel behind the wheel. He had on sunglasses, had a little squirrel toothpick hanging out of his mouth. He looked over at the guy and he said, it's not as easy as it looks, is it? Amen? Not as easy as it looks, is it, right? Forgiveness is not as easy as it sounds either. It's easy to talk about. It's easy to preach on. But man, when it's time to do it, it is tough. It is tough, right? You may have heard it said, but I just can't forgive him or her for what they did to me. When you hear that as a Christian brother or sister, when you hear that as a Christian family member, you need to affirm that. You need to say, you're right. You can't, but God can forgive them through you. Yes? God can forgive them through you. See, in order to truly forgive someone, you've got to make four mental choices. There's got to be some mental choice in there. Number one, I choose not to think about the incident. Remember, as we talked about last week, it is impossible to completely forget it, but you can choose not to think about it. Choice number two, I choose to not want to harm you for this incident. I don't want to harm you for this incident. I don't want revenge. I don't want to get back at you. See, this is your willingness to release them from your desire to take revenge on them. And people often misunderstand this point that we're talking about, choosing to not wanting to harm somebody. If someone committed a crime against you, right, heinous crime, forgiveness does not prevent you from allowing the law to execute justice on your behalf. Forgiveness requires you. It requires you that you do not personally become the judge. You don't personally become the jury. You don't personally become the executioner for what they've done. But you can forgive and still allow justice to take its course. Do you understand that? Amen? Number three, we're talking about four choices if we're going to really forgive, right? When you forgive, you give a testimony of a Spirit-filled life. Choice number three, I choose to not bring up this incident again. I'm not going to talk about it again, right? This choice would heal many marriage wounds. I choose not to bring this thing up again. One husband, he told his friend, a good friend of his, he told him, he said, when my wife and I argue, he said, she gets historical. And his friend said, do you mean hysterical? And the husband said, no, she gets historical. She brings up all the mistakes I've ever made. Right? Boy, it's quiet in here, amen? Choice number four, you got to make some choices. If you're going to look like you got the Spirit inside, if you're going to give testimony of a Spirit-filled life, when it comes to forgiveness, you got to make some choices. Number four, I choose to not allow this incident to stand between us. It's not going to stand between us. Now, true forgiveness wipes the slate clean, and a broken relationship can be restored. It can be restored. That is what happens when God forgives us. When He forgives us, our sin has separated us from God, and His forgiveness removes the wall of separation so we can have a personal relationship with Him. Yes, yes? Now, having examined these four choices, you may be wondering today, you may be asking, but preacher, what if the person who hurt me, what if the person who offended me does not want to have a relationship with me? What if that person does not ask for my forgiveness? Should I still forgive them? And the answer would be, yeah, you need to still forgive them. You need to still extend forgiveness. But that leads me to an important principle when we talk about this idea or this truth or this biblical truth coming to us out of Colossians. And that's number five, or number two for the day, number five for the two part. When you forgive, you've got to understand that reconciliation is a whole nother step. Reconciliation is a whole nother step. See, forgiveness requires one who offers grace, right? Who offers the grace. And reconciliation requires that grace be given and accepted. It's got to be given and accepted. Now, the same can be said of God's grace, of His grace. God unilaterally, comprehensively, totally offers grace and forgiveness to everyone on this planet because he wants to be reconciled with every sinner. That's why Jesus came, his first advent. Wasn't to judge. It was to save those which are lost. But that does not mean everyone on this planet will accept his grace. It doesn't mean that, does it? No, not everybody does. Not everybody accepts, right? Reconciliation with God occurs when we repent of our sin and accept his graceful offer of salvation. That's when it happens. God does not require that we get all cleaned up and that we come crawling to him before he offers his forgiveness to us. His invitation to us is simply, come just as you are. Amen? Yes. Right, right? Still with me? So this grace, this unmerited favor, this grace is giving someone what they need, not what they deserve. It's giving them what they need, not what they deserve. If somebody has wounded you, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Grace forgives them anyway. Grace forgives them anyway. You don't have to wait for them to come crawling to you to beg you for forgiveness. You can choose, guided by the Holy Spirit, yes, guided by the Holy Spirit, to unilaterally, to totally, to comprehensively forgive them. You make the choice. Now, hopefully, they will accept your olive leaf of forgiveness and your relationship will be reconciled. But there is the possibility that they will reject your offer of forgiveness. If they do, there will be no reconciliation. You've forgiven them, but you're not going to reconcile. There won't be any reconciliation. But you know what? You've done all you can do. Forgive them. God has required that of you. He's commanded that of you. Forgive them. Try. If they won't, guess what? Move on. Just move on. Amen? Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 18 through 20, the Word of God says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Be at peace with all men. Never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But notice in this passage, Romans 18 through 20, notice this passage. Notice that the Bible does not say to you that you can live at peace with all people, because you can't. You can't live at peace with all people. That's why it says, if possible, as far as it depends on you. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now you say that, you. Yeah, that's who we're talking about. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, sadly, there are some people who will reject your willingness to live at peace with them. Does that mean I'm still going to forgive them? You're still going to forgive them. Does that mean I'm going to be reconciled with everybody? You're probably not going to be reconciled with everybody. But as far as what God has told you to do, you've done everything you can do. Does that make sense? So go ahead and forgive them. And if they won't reconcile, simply move on. Move on with your life. Get on down the road with it. The story goes of a Christian attorney. He really got convicted after reading some scriptures on forgiveness. And so he decided he would forgive some of the debts that his clients owed him. So he drafted up a letter explaining his decision, explaining how God had convicted him, giving the Bible verses on forgiveness, and basing his decision. And he sent this letter that he drafted on forgiveness, forgiving them of their financial debt to him. He sent it to 17 clients who owed him money. They were 6 months past due. These 17 clients were 6 months. They were all at least 6 months past due in paying him for his services, for his time. And so he sent the forgiveness letters by certified mail. How many do you think made it? He sent 17. 16 of those letters, 16, came back unsigned and undelivered. He sent them certified mail. You got to sign for it. His clients, 16 of them, had refused to sign for the letters because they assumed the lawyer was suing them to pay their debts. They didn't know the letters were good news informing them of the cancellation of their debt. The lawyer didn't withdraw his offer. And when some of the clients later tried to pay part of their debt to catch up, they were amazed to discover that their debt was canceled. However, others who never paid, others who had not opened the letter, who had not signed, they lived in fear of being sued, and they were never reconciled with the lawyer. Now, refusal to reconcile is why many people miss out on a relationship with Almighty God. Refusal to reconcile. God has sent them this wonderful love letter called the Word of God, called the Bible, to let them know their debt of sin has been canceled, but they do not even read it. They don't listen to it. They don't receive it. God offers forgiveness to everyone, but reconciliation is dependent on acceptance of His grace. Acceptance of His grace. Which brings me to my final point, my last point of this two-part message. So this is number three for the day, number six for the two-part message. When you forgive, you bring healing into your life. You bring healing into your life. There are basically three reasons why you should forgive others. Three reasons. Reason number one, because God commands it. Reason number one, because God commands it. Reason number two, because God has forgiven you. You ought to extend forgiveness because you've been forgiven, right? Reason number three, you ought to forgive because forgiveness is good for you. Forgiveness is good for you. People who refuse to forgive, they hurt themselves. Bitter people can't help. They can't help it. Bitter people, they can't sleep. Bitter people develop ulcers in the lining of their stomach. Bitter people, they can't get their blood pressure. I mean, it's just all the time up and going. People who refuse to forgive hurt themselves. They're hurting themselves. They see the negative in every situation because their life is polluted with these feelings of resentment and anger and this desire to get even and revenge. Make sense to you, friend? Yes? Amen? People who are unwilling to forgive may feel they are punishing the other person, but the only person paying the price is themselves. Yes? Yes? How good it is to be forgiven by God, but also how good it is to forgive. So, friend, if you're harboring a grudge towards someone who has wounded you, then do yourself a favor. Forgive them. Forgive them. There's an ancient Chinese proverb that says, if you pursue revenge, then dig two graves. If you pursue revenge, then dig two graves. Using that analogy, maybe you need to take a trip out to the cemetery of forgiveness. And friend, when you get out there, you need to make a list of all the evil, all the sins, all the faults and mistakes people have committed to you, against you, and caused hurt on you. Then dig a hole in the ground and bury those sins forever. And never dig them up again. Leave them. The person who wounded you does not even need to attend the funeral. Just go ahead and bury them. And as you do this, you are setting yourself free. You're releasing yourself from the misery and the torment over what they have done to you. Yeah? Amen? Now, I'm going to go way back in time. I'm going to talk about a lady that many of you have heard about. Some of you have even read her works. Her name is Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom. She was imprisoned by the Nazis during World War II because her family provided a hiding place for Jews when they were being arrested and being taken off into concentration camps. So she ends up getting caught. Her family ends up getting caught. And she and her sister, Betsy, were sent to this place called Ravensbrück, where horrible torture, horrible rape, horrible death occurred on a regular daily basis. Betsy, Corey's sister, died in the prison camp. But Corrie miraculously survived, and she became an effective Christian author and speaker. Now, in 1947, she was invited to speak in Munich, Germany. The evening she spoke there, she spoke, guess what, on the topic of, are you ready? Forgiveness. That's what she was speaking on. She spoke on how God buries our sins in the depths of the sea. And after her talk, she was approached by a man who looked somewhat familiar to her. With horror, she recognized him as one of the cruelest guards at the concentration camp where her and her sister were interned at. She remembered the shame of walking naked in front of this very man. And suddenly all the fear and all the hatred returned in a flash. And this former guard, he said to her, "In your talk, you mentioned Ravensbrück." He said, "I was a guard there. But since that time, I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from you as well, Fraulein." He held out his hand to Corrie and said, "Will you forgive me?" Corrie wrote about that encounter. It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. "Jesus, help me," I prayed silently. "I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling." And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one outstretched to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. She said the current started in my shoulder and raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bring tears to my eyes. Corrie said, "I forgive you, brother, with all my heart." For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Well, friend, like Corrie ten Boom, we've been offered forgiveness by God. We've been offered that forgiveness. So we should be willing to forgive others. We cannot do it alone, but with God's power, we can forgive those who have hurt us. Now, do yourself a favor. You want to help yourself here. If someone has wounded you, don't let them continue to torture you. Release them with your forgiveness, right? Release them. Now, you remember last week, we talked about clenching a fist and holding it and holding it and holding it. And we said, you know, we could go home and perhaps do it all day. Not just for a few minutes in church, but we could hold that fist for hours. And you could go to bed holding that fist. And you could wake up in the morning and squeeze that fist as hard as you could. You know what's going to happen. Not in a few days. Not even in a few hours. But just in a few minutes. Your hand's going to start hurting. Your wrist is going to get in pain. The pain's going to start traveling up your arm, right? Yeah? Amen? Imagine what it would feel like to maintain a grip like that for days, for weeks, for months, for years. That's what unforgiveness does to your heart. That's what it does to your heart. You may not feel it physically, but when you hold on to the sins and shortcomings of others, it hurts you. It hurts you. Remember how we talked about how good it feels after we've had that fist all clenched up? Right? Thing starts turning white, gets red, and then it turns white. The blood leaves it. Blood can't stay in it because we're squeezing it so hard. It starts falling asleep on us. Remember how good it feels to finally release that hand? Well, friend, remember the word forgiveness means to release. Release. So go ahead. Release them. Let them go and experience freedom yourself. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you, Lord, that we can finish up a lengthy message. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to come back today and tack on the rest of it and get it done. We pray, Lord, for those that are struggling in this area of their lives. They've had some heinous things done to them in the past, some awful things. But Lord, your word tells us that we are to forgive as we've been forgiven. So, Lord, help us exercise our will and help us make the right choices in spite of what we may feel, in spite of what we may think. And Lord, may we seek to rely upon and lean into the person of the Holy Spirit to help us. Because Lord, we know that sometimes we just can't do it on our own. It's got to be a God thing. So Lord, I pray we would seek your face. I pray we would seek your help. And I pray, Lord, that we would go to that cemetery of forgiveness and dig that old hole and put all those things down in it and bury them up, never to dig them up again. Father God, help us. Help us do it. Do it through us. And may we seek to bring glory and honor to your name because of it. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a time of invitation. I'll be down front. The altars are open. You come if you need to pray something through. If you need to receive Christ, you come today.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Soul of heaven, heart of God, wash over me. Soul of heaven, heart of God, wash over me. Cleanse me, teach me, hold me, reach me, soul of heaven, heart of God, wash over me. Holy presence, love divine, cast out my fear. Holy presence, love divine, cast out my fear. Shield me, free me, call me, lead me. Holy presence, love divine, cast out my fear.
Y'all gather around Brother Dallas. He's you stay down there. They're gonna jump on you like a June bug, man. Yeah, I know. I do as the Lord leads me. Amen. I don't know what I'm doing half the time till I get there. All right, y'all get around Brother Dallas. He's lost 50 pounds. They're running all kinds of tests on him. He's gonna go see an oncologist and this doctor and that doctor and trying to figure out what's going on with him. So we want to pray over him and pray for him. Miss Bicky, I received a text message from her daughter that she's in the ER with some internal bleeding. So we want to pray for Miss Bicky as well. All right, very good. Amen. Thank you all for coming down. Let's close this out with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you that we can bear one another's burdens. And so, Lord, we just come to you today with a heavy heart, with a burdened heart for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we first just praise you and thank you for Dallas and Rosemary, Lord. We thank you for what they mean to our church. And Lord, their whole extended family, Lord, that comes with them at times, we just praise you and thank you for them. But Lord, we lift Dallas up to you. We're praying a hand of healing upon him. We're praying for wisdom and discernment on behalf of physicians on what's going on inside of his body. Lord, we know he's lost a considerable amount of weight. And Lord, we pray that there's not anything just serious wrong with him, Lord, that diet or this medication or that medication can balance these things out and help him get back to where he once was. So Lord, we lift Alice up to you. We pray for Rosemary and her anxiety thinking about it. Lord, we just pray you give them a peace that passes all understanding, knowing that they are in the center of your hand and that you have them, God, and you're going to care for them and take care of them. And then, Lord, as we think about Miss Bicky this morning, we're praying for her health as well. At the ER, got some issues with internal bleeding, Lord. We pray that you would help those physicians. And, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you would just stop that. And Lord, just bring that under control and just bring an end to it. And Lord, we just pray you would see Miss Bicky through and what she's carrying and what she's struggling with, Lord, and what's just on her plate. We just pray you help her with that and just see her through. And then Lord, as we think about old Ronnie Holman, we end it praying for him. We lift old Ronnie up to you, Lord, and we pray you might remove his cancer, that you might bring healing to his body as well, God. We know that Ronnie would give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for touching his body and taking that cancer from him. We thank you that he's been allowed to fight this long against it. And Lord, he's had a good attitude. He's stayed in the fight. He's kept going physically. And so, Lord, we just pray for him and Nancy at this time. And so, Lord, we do thank you. We lift up John Davlin as that's on my mind, Lord. We pray for John, and we pray you touch his body, Lord. Just help him. Help him get back physically from where he once was as he's struggling with his physical health in a huge, huge way. So, God, we just lift him up to you as well. Thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for these that you've assembled here today. And, Lord, we just thank you for the food that we're about to receive. We pray you nourish it to our bodies and our bodies to your service. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. May you bless them mightily. And thank you for loving us and for saving us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, all right. You folks are dismissed. Go enjoy your hamburger. Amen.